The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls each of his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all of his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It should be clear from today's readings that this is Good Shepherd Sunday. Right, Jesus sets himself up as the good shepherd. And I think it's a pretty good image. So the early church, the earliest symbol of followers of the way, was not the crucifix, like the beautiful one we have here, because it was still being used to torture, right, friends and neighbors. And it would have been a little odd. So what do you think the symbol was that's found in the catacombs and in early Christian literature?
Shepherd's crook?
Not the shepherd's crook, no.
The fish?
Okay, so the fish was a sign that you could share with, you draw half of it, and if the other person drew the other half making a fish, you knew they were also Christian, right? That's ichthus, which is a, what are those things that mean something else?
Acronym,
thank you. It's an acronym for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord and Savior, in Greek. No, the image, if they were going to set up anything or paint anything, it was of a shepherd with the sheep on his shoulders. Right? Jesus is the new King David. Right? King David, as a young boy, was a shepherd. And the early church just picked that up. And so you find the oldest kind of iconography of Christ is him with the sheep on his shoulders. And maybe a very happy ewe lamb right nearby, because he's got the lamb's son or daughter on his shoulders and is carrying that one home. And that's a beautiful image, right? The shepherd's not just waiting somewhere. He's going out to find the lost and bring them home. We could all use that, right? Like Jesus is the Coast Guard, going out to find the lost and bring them home. In today's reading, he says there's a special quality of the shepherd, right? The shepherd comes to bring life, to find pasture for the sheep, to keep them safe. Everyone else does all kinds of nefarious things to the sheep. And we can see that going on in our society. Lots of nefarious things going on to the human family all over the globe. And probably not more so now than there were 20 centuries ago, because we haven't really improved and we haven't really worsened, which is sad, right? Hopefully Christianity would have an effect on us and we'd be better to one another. But in general, I would say we're not. In many ways, we are. But in the grand scheme of things, we still have fallen short of hearing the voice of the shepherd. And we want to find other ways into the sheepfold, don't we? We want to sneak in. There's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a pill I can take to be skinny. Or whatever is being marketed to us, right? If you own this car, you'll be happy. If you have this special stereo, you'll be the thrill of your community. If you wear a Norwegian sweater this weekend, you'll be fantastic. I have two, you know? It's a disease, right? We're caught up in stuff outside of us making us happy. And Jesus says, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but me. And he says, right, the line in the gospel says, they didn't get it. It was just a figure of speech. They thought he was just like trying to play himself off as the new King David, the shepherd guy. And Jesus says, no, I'm the gate. Well, now he really changes the metaphor. So the sheepfold, if you go to, I had the opportunity to go to Israel while I was in seminary for 20 days. And as you're driving in the bus from one city to the next, it's just desert. I mean, are we really fighting about all of this rocks? You know, it's just piles of rocks. But occasionally the piles of rocks take form into big circles. And there might be, you know, about this tall pile of rocks in a circle with just a little entrance. And those are the sheepfolds. And they probably date from the time of Jesus. These are very old piles of rocks. Just as if like you've been in New England and seen the piles of rocks that they used to throw to this, you know, the stone walls of Connecticut and Rhode Island. It's the same idea. They're sitting there 200 years, rocks don't care. We'll just sit here. And so Jesus now says, so when shepherds would take their sheep out to pasture, they'd have to watch them and keep bringing them in. And usually they work with there's like an alpha sheep, if you can imagine, you know, what alpha sheep does. But you'd find the alpha sheep, make friends with that one, and if you could keep that one in line, the rest of the sheep would follow. And you would name them all, probably because you had a lot of time on your hands sitting around with a bunch of sheep. So you name all the sheep and you call them by name, they recognize your voice and they follow you. Once you have them in the sheepfold, they didn't have a whole lot of wood. It's pretty rare in a desert. So you would sleep at the entrance, keeping the wolves out on one side and the sheep in on the other. And you yourself, as the shepherd, became the gate. And that's what Jesus is suggesting, right? He says, I'm the one that's going to let you out and bring you home. I'm the one that's going to find you goodness and protect you from danger. Do we rely on Jesus in that way? When I was a very small child, I had lots of learning disabilities. Didn't learn to read till I was 12, and lots of other things were going on, and home wasn't a very safe place, so I would often go outside. And I really experienced the closeness of God in nature, and I'm still kind of in love with creation. In one of my fondest memories, and I'm like 4 or 5, was going down to the tide pools. I've always been morbidly curious. It's going to eventually get me into trouble. And I would turn over rocks and look at how the ecosystem of the tide pools, obviously as a 4-year-old I wasn't using those languages, interacted with each other. And Jesus was there with me. And if there was a rock too big for me to turn over, Jesus would turn it over for me. Physically turn it over, and we would investigate the tide pools. I think our kids do this all the time if we allow them the silence. What I'm suggesting is that we might be overprogrammed. Right? I look at myself, right? Every minute of every day has some noise going on in it. Right? We are all guilty of failing to spend time listening to the voice of the shepherd. Because in my experience, Jesus has never yelled at me. He's never shouted. He's never raised his voice. He doesn't throw temper tantrums. He calls quietly and softly and says, Thomas, do you remember when we walked on the beach? I want to walk with you again. Mike, sorry, busy listening to my iPhone. Watching TV. Listening to public radio. Sorry, Tom. Right? Our day is full When I started to do regular meditation, centering prayer, back in 1989, I found TV too repugnant. That's a generous term. It was awful compared to the depth of intimacy I experienced in the meditation, to what I was seeing coming at me and overwhelming me, way overstimulating me on the TV. And so I said, well, that's easy. Click. I didn't want to turn Jesus off, right? But you can drown out the voice of the shepherd. I mean, and that's the point of the homily today. Jesus wants to talk to you every day, all the time, gently, lovingly, tenderly. And so I gave up TV since 1989. The only time I really miss it is like at the Olympics. That's it. So, you know, I guess you can watch them online now, but I don't even bother with that. If we want to hear the voice of the shepherd, we have to be quiet. And I think that's part of this generation's issue, is we are so noisy in our lives. The things we keep us, you know, if we want to hear the voice of the shepherd, we should read his letters, right? Everyone have their Bible? We have more than one, right? I have 11, counted them. 11, that's just here. I have a few more in Wrangell. And I've got 10 translations in my iPhone, right? So why am I not reading my Bible? Because I'm lazy. That can be the only reason. It's not that I don't have a copy. The people at the time of Jesus, they would have, you know, had to auction off their house. I mean, it was $240,000 in today's money to get a copy, because it had been handwritten of just one of the Gospels. Do we value what we have in the Word of God? If I want to hear the voice of the shepherd, I've got to listen to his word. When I was in the Coast Guard in Ketchikan, I was on a buoy tender, the plane tree, as the operations officer and navigator. And the crew on the ship said, "Ensign Weiss, we want you to lead us in a Bible study." And my response was, "I'm Catholic. I don't read the Bible." Come on, raise your hands. I'm Catholic. I don't read the Bible. And they said, "Oh no, you need to lead us in a Bible study." They saw the vocation in me before I was willing to admit to it. Right? And so they challenged me. So here I am sitting in the officer's mess, reading the Bible, going, "It says that in here? That's amazing. And it says that in here? That's amazing too." We had so much fun. We met every night for like an hour after dinner in the winter. In the summer, we worked buoys until 11 at night because it was still daylight. And the other thing I did that probably caused me to be standing here is I bought a used kayak. It's the source of every vocation that I know of. Well, what I did is I don't really like to drive. Even here, I walked to the post office and to the grocery store. I kayaked from about where the mall is, where my apartment was, down to the Coast Guard base. And in 40 minutes, in the very quiet, still mornings, I could hear Jesus' voice. And he said, "I love what you're doing. You make a great officer, but I'd rather you be a priest." And I'm like, "I'm busy. This was really complicated to graduate from the academy. You could have told me earlier." And he's like, "I did." I'm like, "Yeah, I kind of pretended not to hear you." And I think that's the other problem. We'd prefer to listen to the voice of a stranger that tells us what we want to hear. Jesus will tell us what we need to hear, but often it's not exactly what we want to hear. So your homework this week, 1 hour between now and next Sunday of silence. You don't have to do it all at once, right? You could do 20 minutes here or 4 minutes. But listen for the voice of the shepherd.